Amen. Amen. Well, if you want to know how we got to this point in this series, Living in the Revelation, you're going to have to listen to 1 to 4 online. Because I was all set to be a little review, but God said get right to the nitty gritty. So that's what we're going to do. I'm excited. Have a question. How many of you have ever felt or are feeling that God is asking you or has asked you to do something that you don't feel you're equipped to do? Okay. You feel like God is making you bite off more than you can chew. And sometimes we use that as a reason to not do what he said because, we don't want to do it wrong, but we don't feel that we have it. And you've heard me share, you've heard Pastor Ed share when we were told that it was just enough being told that we were going to be ordained ministers. But then when you drop the pastor word on us, it's like, how are we going to do this? Because, see, I know me. And what I knew about me didn't have pastor anywhere near it. But I made it a point never to operate, since I became a believer, I never operated in what I knew. Because I figured the word was true. So since the word was true, I figured whatever I needed to know, God would give me or he would tell me. But I never had to go off and pray about whether or not I was going to do what I was asked to do. I just figured if that's what the pastor's asking me to do, God must have planted me in this spirit. So, yeah, I don't need to pray again about this. I have pastors after God's own heart. But I have some good news. I do. How many of you could use some good news? Because it's true that sometimes we do feel like we're in over our heads. Or as they say in the corporate world, we're asked to do something that's above our pay grade. But the problem is, if God asks you or tells you to do it, we have to know that he's already equipped us to do it. And I hope you see in this today what I saw. Look at Philippians 4. In verse 19, and I'm going to tell you right now, we're not going to really look at it in a traditional way. I saw something a little different. Yet verse 19, let's read it. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, when I read that scripture, was reading that scripture, I always read it in the context that it was talking about giving me something that I didn't already have. Because if I think I have a need, then I think I am lacking something. Because if I'm not lacking anything, then guess what? I don't need anything. But I would sit down and I'd look at circumstances. And I would say, God, you said you would supply all my need. God, you said you would supply all my need. Thank you, God, for supplying all my need. But I read something this morning that put that scripture in a different light. But first of all, what are good things or good works? When we talk about doing good works, what are we talking about doing? Any ideas? It's not a trick test. I'm not setting you up. Yeah, his will, helping people, doing what God told you to do, doing what God said you can do, they're all considered good works, right? Do you agree with me? See, now that didn't hurt. That didn't hurt. See, it's not just the things God tells us that we feel and that we feel we're ill-equipped to handle. But what about the things the devil throws at us? Are they good works? Well, let's think about that. He throws it at you. You handle it. Is that a good work? All right. Yeah, he's supposed to throw things at you, but the only reason it becomes a good work is because we're handling it the way our Father told us to handle it. It's a, you know, what he throws isn't a good work, but what we do with it is. But we don't look at it that way. The enemy comes with something and we think there's something that we need. But it's a good work. And we think we're standing strong, but really we're standing passively because we don't think we have everything we need. We're trying. Could anybody ever, you don't have to raise your hand, but anybody ever prayed a prayer, Lord, I'm trying to stand. You know, I'm doing the best I can, Lord. You know, but this is hard. I'm trying, Lord, I'm trying. You know, I believe your word. You said you'd supply my every need. And we think we're standing, but we're leaning a little bit because we're wondering when. At least I do. I know you guys never wonder when. But I wonder when. I've actually uttered the words, how long? You know, I've done, why, Lord? You know, all of these things. And it's something that I was not knowledgeable of. I didn't get the revelation about. Let's go to Ephesians 2. It's King James Version. Let's read verse 10. Are we there? Ephesians 2, verse 10. Let's read it. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Wait a minute. Wait. We were created to do good works. We were created to do good works. You sure? We were created to do good works. So that has to mean that the ability to do good works needs to be in us. It needs to be in us. We were created to do good works. Okay, there's more. Doesn't just stop there. Which God has ordained beforehand that we should walk in them or do them. Listen to the Passion Translation. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good work we should do to fulfill it. Even before we were born, God planned our destiny and every good work that we would have to do to fulfill our destiny, even if it's overcoming the devil. It's all part of our destiny on the road to fulfilling it. It's good works, good works, good works, good works. As we yield, look, this is what this footnote said about that passage. Good works make up our destiny. As we yield to God by doing what he asked, our prearranged destiny comes to pass and we're rewarded for simply doing what he wanted us to accomplish. You think about that. He's already decided this is what I want from you. And this is how you do it. And we go out and do what he said and we get rewarded for it. I mean, This may sound strange, but, you know, even when you're dealing with things that the enemy throws at you, it's all part of your destiny. Remember, Jesus said, in this world, you shall have, you will have. He didn't say anybody. He said, in this lifetime, you'll receive, what was it, 100-fold with persecutions. Now, there's a reason for going down this path. with Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, and I think things happen like, but I need strength. I need patience. I need money. I need peace. I need. And I already told you before, I'll stand and I'll say, well, when? It is what your word says. When is this going to happen? I know you said due season, define. You know, when is your season? Because I need it to be my season. But Philippians 4:19, in the Passion Translation, puts it in a little different light. And it kind of changed my thinking a little bit. The Passion Translation says, Philippians 4:19, I am convinced that my God will fully satisfy every need you have. For I have seen the abundant riches of glory revealed to me through the Anointed One, Jesus Christ. And I said, wait a minute. I've always thought about that scripture as God giving something to me. I never thought of it in terms of him revealing something to me. But folks, something revealed can have much more value to you than any physical thing you can get. When Paul was pleading with God to remove that thorn, God revealed, my grace is sufficient. And Paul's like, wow. Now I glory in my infirmities. The scripture never said, and God removed the thorn. Never mentioned it. Jesus never addressed it. My grace is sufficient. Period. And Paul got it. He got it. And he never complained about anything after that. He said, the abundant riches of glory revealed to me, not given to me, but revealed to me. And I'm thinking, I'm waiting for God to supply and missing, I should say, while I am waiting for him to supply, I'm missing what he revealed because there's a piece I'm not doing. I'm so busy caught up on what he will supply that I neglect to stay buried in his word because I'm looking around. Where is it? And I'm complaining. Where is it? And I'm not reading where he can reveal things to me. And I'm wondering, what's going on, God? When are you going to supply? And he's wondering, when are you going to get back into my word so that I can reveal some things to you? Because I can take what he reveals, when God reveals something, it's almost tangible to you. And you can take that and run with it. But if I'm not spending time in his word, active time in his word, I'm not getting it. I'm not. I'm turning into the neighborhood. You'll see this in a minute. 2 Timothy 3. I'm going to read verses 10 to 17, and then we're going to place focus on 16 and 17. Paul says to Timothy, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Say why? No, just say why. That the man of God may be perfect. What does it say after that? Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Folks, when we stay in the Word thoroughly furnishes us for all good works. All good works. This verse is letting us know that since we have God's words, we have what we need. Because it said, His word is profitable. What it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in its righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's telling me that if I stay in the Word, I'll be thoroughly furnished for anything that comes. And if I know I'm thoroughly furnished for anything that comes, I'm not going around complaining about what I don't have. Because I know something, I'm thoroughly furnished. And what I'm doing is a good work, I'm thoroughly furnished for all good works. All good works. And I really got excited when I opened Sparkling Gems to today and found out Pastor Rick was talking about that same scripture. And with Pastor Rick, some of the things that he shared out of Sparkling Gems, he compared it to his father. He said his father loved to go fishing. And as the years passed, his love for fishing grew more intense. He purchased a boat so he could go to the lake and fish at any location he wished. And Pastor Rick says, I remember his first boat well. It was just a plain, simple, ordinary boat with nothing but a very small motor and two wooden oars for rowing just in case the motor stopped working. Okay. And, you know, like serious fishermen, his dad wasn't content with that beginner's boat. He had to have something better. He had to have something that was, what the term he used was, more seriously equipped. So soon he swapped his simple boat for a rig that was completely decked out with every device imaginable. It had a huge motor, a trolling motor, I don't know what that is, a depth finder, a computerized temperature gauge, a sophisticated fish locator, even an anchor that was operated by a special electric motor. He finally had the boat of his dreams loaded with everything he ever could have imagined. Having on his fishing boat, with anything he could have ever imagined having on his fishing boat. What an improvement this was from that first very simple basic boat he started with when he first took up fishing as a sport. Well, believe it or not, when Paul talks about what the Word of God does in our lives in the verses in 2 Timothy 3, and he uses a Greek word that describes a well-decked-out boat. The verses say all scriptures God-breathed, as I shared, but in verse 17, he said you're about to discover that there's no replacement for what God's Word can do in you and for you if you give it top priority. The word thoroughly furnished is from the Greek word that means to completely deck out or fully supply. That's what it means. So the man of God will be completely decked out, fully supplied for every good work. So if you are completely decked out and you are fully supplied, you don't have to wait around to get a need met. because you stayed in the Word and things were revealed to you and you knew what to do. Or I say, could say you know what to do. See, it was used to depict the ship that had previously been ill-equipped for traveling, but because its owner had decked it out with new equipment and gear, the ship had become thoroughly furnished to sail anywhere in the world. Anywhere. Fully supplied, completely equipped, thoroughly furnished. Paul uses this to let us know that we're not prepared to set sail in life until we allow the Word of God to do its work in our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our thoughts. See, he talked about a ship. For me, it was playing sports. I didn't know a thing about basketball. I was very good at losing. I didn't care. I was learning. And I would learn something and I'd practice it. I'd learn something else and I'd practice it. And I'd learn something else and I'd practice it. Until it got to the point where there were very few situations that I came across, game situations, that I didn't know how to respond. It just happened. It became instinctive. Why? I worked at it. I ate, I slept, I breathed basketball, and I didn't love basketball. I just wanted revenge. I did all that just to get revenge. Show you how nutty I was. Okay. But when we come to Christ, we're like that first boat or that brand new athlete, the person that just decides, okay, I want to do this sport that I've never done before. But as we delve into his word and we get into it more and more and more, we become more and more equipped. And it gets to the point where it doesn't matter what comes our way, we're ready. We handle it. Something seems to kick in. We don't have to think about it. It just happens. It just happens. Because we've been thoroughly equipped for it. And because it's in God's plan, it's a good work. So I don't have to think about it. If it's a bad work, that's why people have to sit down and plot out how they're going to sin. And make provisions for getting caught, get all the stories in place and the witnesses together. When you're doing right, you don't have to do any of that. You just keep going. And it doesn't matter what anybody says because you know you're right. We didn't know anything when we first came to Christ. All we knew is that we weren't going to hell. That's all we knew. Now, that's a biggie. But that's all we... And we could get across maybe a nice, calm lake. We were fine. Bigger lake, we may sweat a little bit. A river, well, now that's even more. An ocean, I don't think so. Especially when it's hurricane season. But as we stay in the Word and we become thoroughly equipped for every good work, we get in our boat and we go. And we're not concerned about what we might face on the way because we've been thoroughly equipped. So whatever comes up, we can handle it because we've been equipped to do so. And we have to know that. And we have to know that in order to be in that state, it requires that we do something, not God. God has already done it. He's given us his word. That we read is good for everything. We already have it. We need to use what we have and stop thinking we're lacking anything. Really, if we're lacking anything, it's time spent in the word. Is what we're lacking, because if we spent the time in the Word, the answers and things will be revealed to us. And we'll know what to do. And when we find ourselves getting anxious, guess what we do? We go back to the Word and reinforce the assurances of that what God said is absolutely true. Period. We don't have to take the time and plead our case with God. All we have to do is get with his program and keep doing what he said. Keep going in the direction that he told us. Someone said to me once, they said, it feels like, you know, I take two steps forward and I get knocked back one. I said, you're still one step ahead. Just keep going. Because it'll get to the point where, you know, when you get knocked, it might just slow you for a second, but you keep going. Then you'll get to the point where you won't even feel a bump. But the key is, just keep going forward. He said, well, I thought it would happen faster than this. Why? Happen faster must mean it's happening, just not at your pace. But it's happening. Why not rejoice in that and get excited? Say, praise the Lord. I made 2 more inches. And you get excited. Yeah, devil, you thought you could stop me. Well, I'm 2 inches closer than I was yesterday. And you just keep pressing. Paul didn't say I strolled toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. What did he say he had to do? Press towards the mark. So that means he didn't let anything sway him off the mark. His focus was always on the mark, period. He didn't see the obstacles, he saw the mark. We have to get to the place where all we see is the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus, and stop looking off at other things, other conditions, other, as Pastor Hagin, was Pastor Hagin that said, used the word obstacles? We have to stop looking at the obstacles and just keep going. Just keep going. I mean, running backs look for openings. They don't scan the field and say, oh, I better not run over there. There's a book. No, there are people in place that are supposed to take away the opposition. You're supposed to run a direct path. We get excited when we read about, you know, God has given us ministering angels, given ministering angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. Why? Lest we dash our foot against a stone. But it's probably not going to be a stone in the middle of the path. If we dash our foot against a stone, we're probably going off the path. We're getting close to the wayside, and we start running into other things. But God has already dispatched our help. We need to let our help do what it's supposed to do. Just like that running back, if he hits that hole too fast, before his blockers get there to do, he's going to be brought down. But if he lets the blockers do what he's supposed to do, he goes through. We have to let God's word do what it's supposed to do so that we can go through. Instead of getting out either ahead of God or not having a clue as to when we're supposed to go because we haven't spent time in his word getting our direction, getting our mind renewed, having our thinking, our thought processes transformed, like the scripture says. So really, 2 Timothy 3:17 could be interpreted that the man of God may be perfect, completely outfitted and fully supplied and decked out, furnished and equipped unto all good works. So I'm going to ask the question again. Since we are completely outfitted, fully supplied, decked out, furnished and equipped unto all good works by God's word, do we need anything else? If there is anything else we need, it would be obedience to do what God says. It would be discipline to stay in his word. Discipline. I have a Bowflex. You may have seen that commercial, the Bowflex Max 4. They mean what they say. Okay. I haven't worked up to the 14 minutes yet. because the workout is so intense. I'm up to four. 4 minutes and my heart rate's at 130. 4 minutes. You know, yeah, there was a time when it took almost 40 minutes for my heart rate to get up there. But 4 minutes is what it takes. He said, that's not great, but it's a start. He said, you just keep doing it. That's how you build it back up. But I have to, it takes discipline to do that. You know why? Because afterwards you're tired. And your legs say, you know, it's the next day and your legs say, do you really want to go through that again? And you know what your mind says? No, I don't want to go through that again. And then you say, well, wisdom says, you know, you start off slow. Maybe I'll rest 2 days and do it again. No, but God said do it every day. He didn't say, you know, push it to 14 minutes. But he said, do it every day. Why? Because I'm building up endurance. I'm building up. So I have to have discipline in order to do that. Because you can always find, it seems like we can find reasons to not do everything except eat the wrong foods. But we need discipline. So that we take the time and stay in the Word and don't look at the clock. Because that's what I do. I read for a while and it seems like you've read for 3 hours and you look at the clock and it's only been like 6 minutes. And you're like, oh, I got to get more than 6 minutes. Or we're praying in tongues. Say, I'm going to pray in tongues for 10 minutes. And after 2 minutes, we think it's been 10. Sometimes we think we've gone over. You know, so move all clocks from the room. Okay. And do whatever it takes so that we can be in the Word and become thoroughly furnished, so we can be perfected, completely outfitted, and fully, because we want to be fully supplied and decked out, fully furnished, fully equipped unto every good work. Every good work. You understand? See, I want to go for the long haul. I don't want to just paddle across the lake. I want to go intercontinental, if that's what God wants, without a concern for weather, pirates, storms, whatever. I want to be at the place where no matter what comes, I keep going toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. And in order for that to happen, I'm going to have to allow the imparted word of God to be revealed to me. That's not going to happen unless I'm staying in the Word. Because you'll read one thing that will reveal something from somewhere else. And as you keep reading, things get revealed to you. And your understanding increases. And when you start understanding the word, you become dangerous to the devil. You do. Because you understand what the word, when you understand it, you can operate in it. And that's where we want to be, at that place where we can just operate in the word. It's God's word working in our hearts and minds that decks us out and equips us. That's what it is. We need to understand that. Okay, it's God's word that furnishes us with all the spiritual gear we need to tackle anything that he puts before us or anything that comes before us, anything that God allows, we can handle. Because we understand the word said he will not allow us to be tempted above that which we're able to bear. But with the temptation, he'll give us a way of escape. So if we can't handle it, we shouldn't be facing it. If you're facing it, you can handle it. The reason we're not handling it is because we don't want to. We don't want to handle it. We want it to go away. Well, then send it away, and it'll go. We'll understand we don't have to coddle stuff. We walk in our authority. I've been in fights growing up. I never coddled anyone I was in a fight with. And no one ever coddled me. They were trying to take my head off, and I was trying to break them in half. Why? Because I wanted them to know I'm off limits. So when the enemy comes, we can't coddle with him, folks. Yeah, we have to deal with him, but you deal with them walking in your authority. You deal with them from a place of authority. So you have to ask yourself how far in life you want to go. You have to ask yourself, do you want to complete the good works that God has assigned for you? And if your answer is yes, then as Pastor Clinton would say, you can't be like Brill Cream, because a little dab won't do you. You have to go all in to the Word. As it says in Joshua, meditating in the Word day and night, observing with the purpose of doing everything that's written. Everything. And again, I'm not standing in front of you trying to put on that, I got this, I do this all the time. No, there are things I have to work on also. But I'm convinced, because the Word tells me that my God fully satisfies every need that I have when he gave me his Word. Everything that I needed, I got. Because he ordained me to do good works. So that means he had to furnish everything I needed to do those good works. Now he's furnished it. My responsibility is to take what he has furnished and use it the way it's supposed to be used. The prosperity message was never really designed to get stuff and things. It wasn't. It was so we can go into all the world and preach the gospel. Period. It got a little distorted. Some things get a little distorted. When we stay in the Word, it brings clarity. Where we need to be refocused, we become refocused. When our vision is blurry, we stay in the Word, our vision gets clearer. Sing that song, I Can See Clearly Now. And we can act accordingly. Every scripture that has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. Then you will be God's servant, fully mature and perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment God gives you. That's what the Passion Translation says. That's what I want. I want to be fully prepared to fulfill any assignment that God gives me. The easy-to-read version says, using the scriptures, those who serve God will be prepared and will have everything they need to do every good work. Those who serve God will be prepared and will have everything they need to do every good work. The Voice Bible says, so that God's people may be up to task ahead, up to the task ahead, and have all they need to accomplish every good work. All we need is God's Word in our hearts and minds. Not having God's Word sitting on a shelf or a coffee table. It needs to be in our hearts and in our minds so that we can do it. When that happens, when we get to that place, it doesn't matter how stormy it gets. It doesn't matter how ugly things get. It doesn't matter how rough things get. We're going to keep going toward the mark of the prize because we'll have the understanding. where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. See, when you know that, you stop complaining about all the sin that's out there, and you go about doing what you're called to do, because when we do what we're called to do, we're bringing people out of sin. It's really that simple. We get too caught up in stuff and things. We forget the scripture said no soldier in battle gets entangled in civilian affairs. Now, he wants to please the one who calls him. So he focuses on the calling. We have to focus on our calling, folks, so that we'll be up to task, so that we'll be prepared, so that we'll be convinced. Yeah, see, a toot toot went right there. Say, I confess that God's word has a central place in my life. I regularly read God's word and meditate on its truth. Therefore, my mind is being renewed with the word day by day. As a result, the word decks me out, equipping, outfitting, and furnishing me with all the spiritual gear I need to take the adventurous trip God has planned for my life. With God's word fitted tightly in place, I am ready to set sail and follow wherever the Holy Spirit leads. I declare this by faith in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower us by its instruction and correction, giving us the strength to take the right direction and lead us deeper into the path of godliness. Then we'll be God's servant, fully mature, and we'll be perfectly prepared to fill any assignment God gives us. That's what I want. That's what I'm going after. And I love the company along the way. Amen. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, the honor, the praise. We thank you. You make things so simple. You have a purpose and a plan for our lives. You had it before we were formed in our mother's womb. You had a destiny, and you had good works for us to do that would accomplish our destiny. And then you gave us your word so that we would be thoroughly furnished to do every single good work. And we thank you for it. Lord, we repent for the times we may have slipped up. Repent for the times we may not have spent the time becoming thoroughly furnished. But all that's behind us. We're not looking back. We're moving ahead. And we're going to do the things that you've told us we must do so that we can be fully equipped, thoroughly furnished for all of the good works that you have lined up for us to do as individuals and as a congregation. And we thank you, Lord, that as we move forward, as we get closer and closer and closer, we'll start seeing the end results. We'll start seeing them. But whether, you know what, Lord, whether we see them or not, we're going to keep pressing ahead, following every single path, every single turn that your Spirit prompts in us. And when all is said and done, we'll be right where you want us to be, doing the things that you've called us to do. Thank you, Father, for these people that came out tonight, these precious folks that want to know just what has to be done to accomplish the goals that you've laid out for us before we were formed in our mother's womb. So we thank you, Lord, that you bless them supernaturally because of their diligence, their discipline, their obedience to come out. And just like you brought them here safely, you'll take them home safely, because you said you keep our going out and our coming in, henceforth and forevermore. So we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Father, for those who are giving into the ministry here of RLCC. We thank you, Father, that they have a heart to give. We thank you, Lord, they're not giving grudgingly or of necessity, but they're cheerful givers. They love you, and they love this church that you've given them. They love the pastors you've given them after your own heart. And they just want to support the work that you started up here in the Nanuet area 38 years ago. Whenever it was started, Lord. You know the date better than I do. But we just thank you, Lord, for all you are to us, for all you've done and are doing for us. Yes, there are a lot of things going on in this world, but Lord, we can give you praise because you have your people in place. And as they become more and more equipped and step out, we start seeing the changes. We thank you, Lord, for the changes that are happening that will cause us to have peace. We continue to pray for our leaders. All of our leaders, our president, our vice president, Congress, senators, governors, representatives, judges. With this being the start of the school year, Lord, even our teachers, our school administrators, we thank you that they'll make choices that will allow us to live a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Because you said it's good and precious in your sight, because you desire all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. So it's obvious to us that our living peacefully and honestly before your face is the draw to all men being saved and coming into the knowledge of the truth. So we pray for those political leaders. We pray for the church at large, Father, that there be unity, and that every church member, and especially, Father, every church leader, will only allow those words out of their mouth that will promote unity and harmony, and that to keep personal opinions to themselves. We thank you, Lord, that we are one people, the church. We may have many members, but we are one body. And each part has its own special work to do. Each part. And as each part does its own special work, the whole body prospers. Thank you, Father, that we develop the same care one for another. As we become fully equipped, we'll realize all of those things. So we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.